وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَتَرَى الظَّالِمِينَ لَمَّا رَأَوُا الْعَذَابَ يَقُولُونَ هَلْ إِلَى مَرَدٍ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ.
He whom Allah lets go astray, none after him can be his protector. You will see that when the wrongdoers observe the chastisement, they will exclaim, "Is there any way to go back?" He whom Allah lets go astray, none after him can be his protector. God has revealed an excellent book to guide people, which effectively instructs them in truth and directs them to the straight way. He also raised a prophet of no less a stature and illustrious character than Muhammad, peace be upon him, the like of whom they had never seen before. Furthermore, God showed the results of the prophet's instruction and training in the excellent lives and conduct of the prophet's companions. If the unbelievers continued to disregard God's guidance despite all this, then they were free to persist in error, for evidently they did not want to reform themselves. If God slams the door on someone to receive guidance, who can guide them to the straight way? You will see that when the wrongdoers observe the chastisement, they will exclaim, "Is there any way to go back?" That is, when it is possible for them to return to the straight way, they refuse to pay heed. However, after God's judgment has been finally issued for enforcement, they would very much like to have another opportunity to repent and reform themselves.
وَتَرَاهُمْ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا خَاشِعِينَ مِنَ الذُّلِّ يَنظُرُونَ مِنْ طَرْفٍ خَفِيٍّ وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَلَا إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ فِي عَذَابٍ مُقِيمٍ.
You shall see them as they are brought face to face with the chastisement in a state of abject humiliation, looking with a furtive glance. But the believers will say, "Surely the true losers are they who lose themselves and their kindred on the day of resurrection. Lo, the wrongdoers will be in an enduring torment." You shall see them as they are brought face to face with the chastisement in a state of abject humiliation, looking with a furtive glance. It is part of human nature that on being confronted with a dreadful spectacle which poses a serious threat to oneself, one first closes one's eyes, for one is unable to observe the dreadful object overtaking one. At most, one casts a glance over the terrifying object. The Quran depicts the same condition of unbelievers when they will be on their way to hellfire.
وَمَا كَانَ لَهُمْ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءَ يَنْصُرُونَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ.
They shall have no protectors to help them against Allah. For he whom Allah causes to go astray will have no way to save himself.
استجيبوا لربكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا مرد له من الله ما لكم من ملجأ يومئذ وما لكم من نكير.
Accept the command of your Lord before there comes a day from Allah that cannot be averted. On that day there shall be no shelter for you, and none may change your predicament. Accept the command of your Lord before there comes a day from Allah that cannot be averted. That is, God will neither avert that day nor anyone else has the power to do so. On that day, there shall be no shelter for you, and none may change your predicament. This is open to other meanings as well. One, the unbelievers will not be able to deny any of their misdeeds. 2. Also, it will not be possible for them to hide by disguising themselves. 3. They will not be in a position to lodge any protest or show any resentment against the treatment meted out to them. 4. It will be beyond them to change the condition in which they are placed.
فَإِنْ أَعْرَضُوا فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا إِنْ عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ وَإِنَّا إِذَا أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً فَرِحَ بِهَا وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ كَفُورٌ
O Prophet, if they turn away from the truth, know that we did not send you to them as their overseer. Your task is only to convey the message. Indeed, when we give man a taste of our mercy, he exults in it. But if any misfortune afflicts them on account of their deeds, man is utterly ungrateful. O Prophet, if they turn away from the truth, know that we did not send you to them as their overseer. The Prophet, peace be upon him, is not required to force the unbelievers into following the straight way, nor will he be taken to task for their sins. Your task is only to convey the message. Indeed, when we give man a taste of our mercy, he exults in it. But if any misfortune afflicts them on account of their deeds, man is utterly ungrateful. Man here refers to those mean and arrogant people who cannot gracefully carry the bounties they have received from God. When they are admonished to follow the straight way, they simply refuse to pay heed. However, when they are punished for their misdeeds, they bemoan and curse themselves and forget all the bounties that had earlier been showered upon them. They fail to realize that their plight is because of their misdeeds. They do not, however, take any lesson from their adverse or favorable circumstances. It is evident from the context that the discourse is directed to the Meccan unbelievers, though they are not addressed directly. Rather, some general observations are made about human conduct and the causes of human weaknesses are identified. This provides one with a highly useful lesson about the wisdom that ought to accompany preaching. The weaknesses of the addressees should not be directly attacked. Only some general comments should be made so that they are not antagonized. These comments should spark off their good sense and rouse them to engage in soul-searching.
لله ملك السماوات والأرض يخلق ما يشاء يهب لمن يشاء إناثا ويهب لمن يشاء الذكور
The dominion of the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. He creates whatever He pleases. He grants females to whomever He pleases, and males to whomever He pleases. The dominion of the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. If the unbelievers refuse to take any lesson, that does not change facts. The dominion of the earth and the heavens does not belong to any earthly king or tyrant. It belongs to God. Those who rebel against Him can achieve no victory. Nor can those whom the unbelievers foolishly invest with divinity rescue them.
أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ
Or grants them a mix of males and females, and causes whomever He pleases to be barren. He is all-knowing, all-powerful. Or grants them a mix of males and females, and causes whomever He pleases to be barren. He is all-knowing, all-powerful. This is a manifest proof of God's absolute authority and power. No human being, however great, is able to have children of his choice, let alone grant them to others. The one whom God has made barren cannot bear a child despite the best medical advice and treatment. Likewise, he who has been granted only daughters cannot have a son. The same holds true for the parents of sons who cannot have a daughter on their own. Man is utterly helpless in this regard. It is hard to ascertain whether an expecting mother will deliver a son or daughter. It is the height of foolishness on one's part to lay claim to divinity or to credit anyone else with divinity in the face of these evident truths. Those guilty of such foolishness will face dire consequences. Their unbelief in polytheism cannot even slightly alter the reality.
وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَن يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا وَحْيًا أَوْ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ أَوْ يُرْسِلَ رَسُولًا فَيُوحِيَ بِإِذْنِهِ مَا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ عَلِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ
It is not given to any human being that Allah should speak to him except through revelation, or from behind a veil, or that a messenger, i.e. an angel, be sent to him who reveals to him by Allah's leave whatever he wishes. He is all high, most wise. It is not given to any human being. The theme broached at the opening of the surah is resumed in the concluding part. It is helpful, therefore, to rehearse the opening verses and their explanatory notes. That Allah should speak to him except through revelation. Wahi here signifies inspiration, or putting an idea or feeling in someone's heart, or making him observe a truth in a state of sleep. An example of this is the vision shown to the prophets Abraham and Joseph, peace be upon them, in their dreams, as stated in Surahs Yusuf 12, 4, and 100, and Al-Saffat 37, 102. Or from behind a veil. One hears some voice, though one is unable to observe the caller. This happened to the prophet Moses, peace be upon him. He heard someone calling out from a tree, yet he could not see the caller. Taha 20, 11, 48, Al-Naml 27, 8 to 12, and Al-Qasas 28, 30 to 35. Or that a messenger, i.e. an angel, be sent to him who reveals to him by Allah's leave whatever he wishes. This is the conventional mode of revelation, which accounts for the transmission of heavenly books to prophets. Some people tend to misinterpret the verse to mean that when God sends a prophet, the latter conveys his message by his command. However, the wording of the verse itself indicates the fallacy of the above interpretation. The prophet's preaching cannot be equated with revelation. Such an interpretation is also not endorsed by Arabic idiom. Vahi connotes a secret as distinct from open communication. Vahi can be equated with prophets' preaching only by those who are totally ignorant of Arabic idiom and syntax. He is all high, most wise. God is far too exalted and hallowed to speak face to face with a human being. Moreover, he also has the power to resort to alternatives of direct means of communication with man.
وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ
Even so, we reveal to you, O Prophet, a spirit by our command. Ere to that, you knew neither what the book nor what the faith was. But we made that spirit a light, whereby we guide those of our servants whom we please to the right way. Surely, you are directing people to the right way. Even so, we reveal to you, O Prophet, a spirit by our command. Even so does not necessarily mean that the last mentioned communication of God's guidance was the only one, but includes all the three modes mentioned above. As for Ru, it denotes the message conveyed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, through revelation. Both the Quran and Hadith testify that the Prophet, peace be upon him, received revelation in all the above three modes. 1. There are ahadith that mention Aisha as narrating that revelation to the Prophet, peace be upon him, commenced with true dreams. This lasted for some years. Ahadith recount many such dreams of the Prophet, peace be upon him, in which he received some good tidings or directives. The Quran also specifically mentions a dream that was shown to the Prophet, peace be upon him, Al-Fath 48:27. The Prophet, peace be upon him, stated in several ahadith that he was inspired or instructed or commanded or prohibited on different occasions. All these are illustrative of this type of revelation. Hadith Qudsi belongs to the same category. 2. On the occasion of his night journey, the Prophet, peace be upon him, was favored with another mode of revelation. Several authentic ahadith narrate the dialogue between God and the Prophet, peace be upon him, regarding the number of obligatory prayers. One thus learns that the Prophet, peace be upon him, was granted the same honor as was conferred earlier upon the Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, on Mount Sinai, when God spoke to him directly. 3. The Quran clearly states that revelation was conveyed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, through the agency of Gabriel, Al-Baqarah 297 and Al-Shu'ara 26:192-5.
Ere to that, you knew neither what the book nor what the faith was.
Prior to assuming the prophetic office, it had never occurred to the Prophet, peace be upon him, that the book would be granted to him. In fact, he had no inkling about the previous books and their contents. Likewise, notwithstanding his belief in God, he did not have a clear idea of the articles of faith before he was appointed to the prophetic office. He was also unaware of belief in angels, prophethood, heavenly books, and the hereafter. The Meccan unbelievers were cognizant of all this. No Meccan could dare say that the Prophet, peace be upon him, had ever even discussed the issue of faith before his designation to prophetic office. An aspirant for this office would not have behaved in this fashion of displaying complete unawareness of these subjects and then, out of the blue, presenting remarkable and highly cogent discourses on them.
صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
The way of Allah, to whom belongs the dominion of all that is in the heavens and the earth. Lo, it is to Allah that all things ultimately revert. Lo, it is to Allah that all things ultimately revert. This serves as the final warning to the Meccan unbelievers. Their rejection of the Prophet, peace be upon him, cannot be taken lightly. Their unbelief is in God's knowledge, and so is all else that is happening. He will pronounce his judgment regarding the fate of all.